according to their conduct, I will deal with them, and by their judgments I will judge them, and they will know that I am the Lord. This is not July the 4th weekend. As you know by now, I normally preach on some citizenship theme for our Independence Day celebration. This is not Independence Day, but I have a great burden for our country, and I believe that many of you have a similar Christian burden, and I want to share, as I believe God would have me do, that burden that the First Presbyterian Church in Gadsden, Alabama, may be used for the Lord to impact our city, our state, and our country. Recently, I read a book entitled The Second American Revolution by a constitutional lawyer, Manassas, Virginia. If you have been following along in your Bible reading calendar for 1982, then you, as I have been reading through the book of Ezekiel, I remarked to you the other day that Ezekiel was a book that I was simply not getting very much out of. It was depressing, and I thought to myself, what a terrible position for a prophet to be in. Israel had been judged, its land had been raped, its people had been deported into Babylon, into another country, and Ezekiel the prophet along with them, and there he was, the prophet of God. The people would come and sit before him, and God would give this prophet this message. And the prophet again and again and again would condemn and damn the people of Israel for their practice. I thought, wouldn't it be a sad thing if any preacher had the call from God to preach nothing but hell and damnation to a congregation? But such was the call of Ezekiel, except in a few chapters. But as I have read this chapter and this book, it occurred to me how close we are in the United States of America to being just like the people of Old Testament Israel. The chapter that I read may have been an alarming chapter, but Christian friends, I see, and I'm sure you see as well, so much in our once great nation that is going on that parallels exactly what was taking place in ancient Israel. And God said, the end is near to his Old Testament people. Consider this morning with me how we have changed in our own Christian moral base in our country to a principle, to an ideology, to ideas, to morals which were not those upon which our nation was founded. Consider how we have changed. The psalmist said, blessed
Happy is that nation whose God is the Lord. But I want to ask you to think for yourself, and you ask the question, is this nation a blessed nation, and is the God of the Bible our God? Where have we changed? How have we become the way we are today? How have we changed from that Christian basis in our country to what we are today? I grant you that the message this morning is different from the ones which you normally hear. But Christian friends, unless you and I wake up, the whole structure of the Christian church is going to change in the next two decades in this country. And we better be alarmed to be ready and be active and involved and doing something to impact our country. There are at least four areas where we have seen a change from a Christian basis to a contemporary basis, a secular basis, a humanistic basis in our nation. There's the area of literature. There's the area of the media. There's the area of education. There's the area of the legal profession, of law. We don't have time to consider all those. We may not have time to consider the ones I walk to. But let us look firstly at the signs of decay in our educational structure today. The basis for education in America used to be predicated upon a theistic basis. I mean, a belief in God, and that a consensus of the God in the Bible. But now we have come full circle where 180 degrees later, our educational structure is no longer based upon a belief in God. Indeed, it is anti-theistic. It cannot be neutral to the God of the Bible. It is anti-theistic. A Harvard professor used to say before his classroom of science students, as he was about to perform some experiment, young men, we are about to observe another one of God's great miracles in creation. 20 years ago, the junior high school book, young people, for the state of Alabama, the state history, used to contain references in it to God in a salutary, in an affirmative way, such as the seventh grade history book said something like this: all Indians probably believed in a great spirit as we believe in God. And there were even references to preachers as those frontier leaders in the establishing and the founding of our country and of this state. For example, Alabamians, whether in town or country, were in need of the sound advice of these God-fearing men. Now I want to challenge you, seventh grader, eighth grader, ninth grader, if you will take your history book and you look and see if you can find some salutary, some happy, affirmative, good reference to God and the influence of Christianity upon our state, upon our nation. I hope you can find it. I haven't examined all of them, but I hope you can, and I hope you will call it to my attention. You see, many, if not most, of the universities and the schools in this country were founded by and established by and carried on by preachers. The first president of the University of Alabama was a preacher. He wasn't Presbyterian. The first public school system in Etowah County was organized by a preacher. at the organization of the first public school at the commencement service in Gadsden, Alabama. After that commencement service, the congregation, some 60 people, stood and sang the hymn in the suite, "By and By." What I am saying is that our basis of education has changed from the religious Christian base upon which it was founded, not to simply an atheistic, a neutral position toward God, but an anti-theistic, to keep God away from that educational influence. Is that a concern of yours? It's a profound concern of mine, and it better be a concern of yours, Christian. The dilemma is such that R.C. Sproul, a member of the PCA, philosopher, theologian, when he taught in the Boston area, was putting his child in a public school, and they had a parent-teacher meeting. The superintendent of education for that particular district came to the meeting. And he said, as he talked, what a great facility this new school was, how excellent all the means were of education, the superb teachers, and that there were all these other advantages in this particular school. And after which, Dr. Sproul stood and asked, and he wasn't being belligerent, but he really wanted to know. He said, "Sir, I'm a Christian, and as a Christian, I know what people I want to do and to make people. I want to make them Christians and like Christ. But let me ask you this. In your educational system, when you are finished with a child at the end of 12 years, what do you hope to produce? What do you want to see? What is your purpose at the end of 12 years?" And this educator had at least the humility and the honesty to say, "Frankly, I don't know. What do you want to see at the end of 12 years in your child's education?" I am glad that this church had the vision some 12 years ago to begin a Christian school. I am not downplaying the public school system and its influence, nor its importance, and I think we ought to be involved in it. Nor am I degrading those teachers who are in the public school system. But I am pointing this out to you, teacher. I am pointing this out to you, student, that there are two main principles which are ruling in the educational philosophy today, and one is Christian and the other is not. We could go on to point out some other areas in education, but I want to move on to indicate other signs of decay in our country. How we have moved from a Christian basis to a basis which has man as its center, away from God. We're moving toward disposable men. We have disposed of God in our public educational structure, friends. And we're moving to the point of disposing man as well. What do I mean? I mean this, that in the area of law, there is no profession in America which is more powerful than the legal profession. Why is that? Because the legal profession takes its authority from the judges. Why is that? Because the judges determine their influence from the federal judges. The federal judges determine their influence from the Supreme Court of the United States. And the Supreme Court has become the main influential factor in the principles and in the morality of this country. And I want to sound an alarm as a Christian, that we better be alert to what is going on and not be willing to accept what we see happening in our nation today. The Supreme Court of our land is revolutionizing our morals, has revolutionized the Christian base of this country. Abraham Lincoln didn't see it that way. He said, "The candid citizen must confess that if the policy of the government upon vital questions affecting the whole people is to be irrevocably fixed by decisions of the Supreme Court, then the people have ceased to be their own rulers." Now I want to ask you, who is ruling in America today? The people? Ha! What do I mean? In 1962 and 63, the Supreme Court struck down devotional Bible reading and prayer in our public schools. They cited the First Amendment. But just as Dr. James Kennedy at the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Florida said, that the First Amendment provides for freedom for the Christian religion, not freedom from the Christian religion. And those men who have become a constitution unto themselves have transferred our Christian basis to their own authority and to their own morals. And we have come 180 degrees so that those laws which were given in order to protect America and religion and Christianity are the very laws which are now being used to interpret and influence and mitigate against its free exercise. There was a cartoon that appeared in the Chicago Tribune by Stasekel, who evidently is a Christian, or at least he's alert to what's going on in this country, and it showed two people standing before a porno shop and an adult entertainment nightclub. And there were signs outside advertising go-go dancers and for sex and so forth, and the two men were out picketing, and one said finally to the other, he said, "Hey, I know how we can shut them down. Let's tell them that the dancers always open their act with prayer." We may smile at it, but where has our morality gone from where it used to be, when we have laws which protect homosexuality, pornography, adult entertainment, but we cannot have prayer and Bible reading in our public schools? Aren't you alarmed? Doesn't it make the hair on the back of your neck stand up? It better. In 1961, the Supreme Court held that the reasons for the blue laws, that is, which protects the Lord's Day, were laws which were given not for religious purposes, but for practical purposes. That the abuse of the Sabbath was something not religion, but practical. You see, what I'm saying is that we have changed from a Christian basis to just what some men say we are today and what we ought to think, and that morality interprets the way you should look at life. Have you ever read the history of Etowah County? Someone gave me a copy when I came to Gadsden, and it's right good. Let me read something interesting from the newspaper, the Gadsden Times, in 1870, mind you. Quote, "Is Gadsden worse than all other places? Are we God forsaken? We would fain hope that our town is not a modern Sodom." And then it goes on to say, why do they think that in 1870? It said, "The Sabbath has been turned into a show day. No family restraints temper. Young young ladies uneasy during the whole service. Smile. They wouldn't like our worship service, I'm afraid. Smile, grin, whisper, looking out for something to savor for their monotony. Men yawn, chew tobacco, spit on the floor, scrape their feet, cough, sigh, open and click rusty alloyed watches without springs. Remedy. Look to your home altars and your hearthstone exercises. What an incisive commentary, though, upon our city and upon America in 1980. That the abuse of the Sabbath, I have no doubt, has been in part responsible for the decline in our own Christianity and the impact of Christianity in America today. The Gadsden Times was right, but more importantly, God's Word is right, because God said, because you have abused my Sabbath, I am going to judge in that without mercy. But the worst crime of all, and we're closing with this point, in 1973, the Supreme Court ruled that abortion was legal, and it struck down 48 states and their laws against abortion. Since that time, over 1 million abortions a year have been committed in this country. It is my own judgment that Nazi Germany was a Sunday school picnic compared to what we are doing today in America. It is a crime. It is a sin. We should be falling upon our knees and weeping for God's forgiveness and pray that His power would intervene before it's too late. I saw on Nightline last Friday night a special on abortion. The pro-abortionists were accusing the pro-lifers of having violence, of disturbing their patients. Happily, some have been successful in shutting down abortion clinics. I am not for violence. Some of those clinics have been burned and attacked. I am not for that. I am for their closing. But it's interesting that the pro-abortionists are accusing the pro-lifers of violence and harassment of their clientele. And the pro-lifers are right in pointing out, friend, where is the violence, the bloody violence going on but inside those clinics? I don't want to be gross. In our church, several weeks ago, we viewed a film on Wednesday night. You missed a good one on abortion. We saw two live abortions. One where an infant, a fetus, was sucked out of a mother's womb like a vacuum cleaner, with a tube like a vacuum cleaner. And another one that was done by hysterectomy. Fully developed child. 6 months after that legislation in 1973, let me tell you something. Dr. Peter A.J. Adam, an associate professor of pediatrics at Case Western Reserve University, reported to the American Pediatric Research Society on research he and his associates had conducted on 12 babies who had been born alive by hysterectomy abortion up to 20 weeks. These men took tiny babies and cut off their heads. A tube was placed in the main artery feeding the brain, and they kept their heads alive much as Russians kept the heads of dogs alive back in the 1950s. There is a poem which goes, "The cry of the unborn. Their screams go unheard by a power that's absurd. Another murdered voice faintly echoes some mother's choice. Hear the cry of the unborn. A monster nine-headed from it has devoured life from its transcendent bower. But by its meal ironically consumes itself, and with it, freedom. Hear the cry of the unborn. Fathers from their graves aghast, a dying nation, a bloody blast. Citizens from earth removed, an unknown sacrifice to self. Hear the cry of the unborn. The last stanza, the gentle breath yet untaken. Justice hath not all forsaken, for from the ground his blood doth cry to him who wrong will rectify. The cry of the unborn is heard. And God said, for my eye will have no pity on you, nor shall I spare you, but I shall bring your ways upon you, and your abominations will be among you. And then you will know that I am the Lord. There's so much that I haven't said this morning that I intended to say, and it would take a good long while to do it. I have not recommended a solution, but quickly let me say that a solution is first repentance and prayer. For God has promised that if my people will humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. If you and I become involved in writing our senators and congressmen to make an impact on our society, if you and I become involved in the educational process that is going on and in politics, you can do something as a Christian. Too often we think Christianity is coming to church and worshiping God on Sunday, but it is making an impact upon our society. You can do something. Young men, young women, why don't you go into law school? I know two preachers who graduated from Reformed Theological Seminary. Do you know, instead of taking churches, they went to law school because they saw that where a man can have an impact today is in his legal profession. It will represent the God of the Bible and that which is good and moral and right and based upon constitutionality of what is going on. Pray for our country. Oh, America, come back. Come back to the God of the Bible. Repent and believe. And the God of our fathers, even the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, will hear our prayer and forgive us and renew our land. Let us pray.